What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Shooter Spotlight, where we tap in with the eyes behind the lens, you know, the creative archive, the eye that you hear from but you don't see. It's your host, Mari, and today I got my brother in the building, a creative sparring partner. Some know him as 7 Saturday, I know him as Andre. What's up?
Yo.
So from the top, what pulled you into the visual game? Like, was it a moment, a person, or you just picked up a camera one day?
I think it was a combination of having the right inspiration and being next to the right people. Because I wasn't really like a film kid growing up, never really like took that anywhere seriously. But the summer I first got introduced to cinematography and film, and even just regular picture, like photography, I had just got finished watching, let me see if I can remember the name, Shutter Island. I had seen Shutter Island.
Shutter Island?
What genre is that? That is a psychological thriller featuring Leonardo DiCaprio. Showed me how important set design, overall aesthetics, visuals, how to appreciate the meaning behind the picture and not the title of the picture, basically.
We're gonna break it down for the audience. For them, what do you mean by that?
So those movies showed me how to pay attention to detail, really.
Okay.
And find beauty in the details. That led me on to trying to get more into film. And that same summer, I had gotten introduced to my brother here, Amari, and Julian. Shout out Julian. We had just gotten started on talking because of school, and one day we just decided, like, hey, we gonna do this little short skit because we got the free time, and my boy Amari here had the camera. Let's go ahead and film a skit. Film the skit, got into it, but we kept going back and forth throughout the summer, making films, watching this movie, making films, talking about this show, da da da, so on and so forth. Excuse me. I started being like, yeah, I could really see myself getting better at this. And this is something I want to get better at. That brings me here, being the creative specialist at UGC, video editing, photography, stuff like that. Brings me to now basically view that as like my secondary to music. Like, it's about as easy to me.
You heard it here first, y'all. The origin story, you know, and that's the part that people don't really see is the build up, everything that comes before the decision to, I guess, consider yourself
visualist. Yeah.
Everybody has a different flavor of style when they shoot. You know, some people shoot real technical, some people kind of just vibe with the situation. So you personally, how would you describe your visual style? We'll talk about
when I'm actually behind the camera and like lining up a shot, I look for the things that can appeal to reality but still appear a little surreal. So it looks like a drawing at the same time it looks like a photo. Try to mix the real with the unreal.
With that surrealism, now we can talk about the post-production. Does that carry over for you?
Oh, absolutely. Not so much as in my videos, but in my photos that I like to take. I put a lot of thought into how I want the actual view of the image looks, like the filters, the actual color grading that I put into it, the composition, what I want the focus of the photo to be.
Would there be any other medium you draw influence from for your style?
Definitely. I'd say like either 90s surrealism art, a little bit of comic books influence my actual process when taking the picture. Same as like Renaissance paintings in France. I really like those. I really like those classic like Italian and French paintings from the Renaissance.
Like the Adam and God.
Yeah, like Adam and God. There's the one of, there's the picture of the Tower of Babel, which is really interesting picture. Like even down to like the smallest window that you can see, there's like something in the window frame. And it's just like, it just looks so developed. Mm-hmm. while being simple, because all they had back then was like wax.
It kind of forced them to be more creative.
Exactly.
So, okay, let me ask you this. Do you believe less is more in creativity? Do you think more access, more help is going to take away from pure creativity? What is pure creativity? That's a loaded question.
I think help with creating your image is still personal to you because you decide what you use for help. Now, in case of you trying to either imitate somebody or do a copy of something you already did, that's when it gets to like it's no longer just you deciding how it looks, because now you're already taking something that existed bare face and just running it back. To answer the second question, whatever comes from your personal experiences getting produced onto a medium, and that means even down to like select what you're going to do and like your process of creating something, even that I could say is personal, and that is still creativity.
I'm kind of hearing you saying it's acting on what's within.
Exactly. Acting on the free will to choose something. So you're not just dancing because someone told you to. You're dancing because you saw this video online and you wanted to dance and you wanted to put your own little twist on it. That's the free will that I think creates creativity and actually gives creativity its power.
Inspiration.
Of finding something external, putting it within you, and then giving something back out.
That's unique to you.
That's like photosynthesis.
I mean, okay. Oh, wow. So look, I'm gonna just go ahead and just throw it out there.
Yeah.
What's the craziest thing you done seen on set? Like, this, you know, no, don't hold anything back. We wanna hear, the people need to know. That's one of them ones.
Yeah, so craziest thing I've seen on set, I wanna say it was back in 2023. And it was a house party scene. It was, you know, like we got prop things everywhere. We got like prop shed in the back. We got actual like yard gnomes and all that stuff. And all of a sudden, mid scene, I guess they were doing like the climax of the party, and mid scene somebody comes in, puts a box in the middle of the scene, and I'm standing to like corner bottom right of the shot, and he lights it, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, that's actually burning. They're like yeah, it's a prop firework. It's just gonna open the box. And I look to my other side, so I was like, okay, it might be a prop box, but I look at it again, and it starts smoking.
Oh Lord. See, at that point, when I seen the smoke, I would have been like, oh, Lord.
Yeah, so literally same time everybody's shooting. It's a non-volume scene, so we're allowed to talk and stuff. I'm talking to the guy next to me. I'm like, hey, we should probably get out of here. I think that's an actual firework. And he's like, no, it's fine. I'm like, no, I think we should go. And as soon as I say the word go, it blows up, and you just see like five lights in three different directions.
I know everybody scattered like roaches.
Oh yeah. I definitely did not go back there. I finished my shot and I was like, okay, I'm just gonna turn this into y'all can do with this what y'all want. I'm good.
Yeah, sometimes I'll be honest with you, man, it gets to a point, it's just not worth it. Feel me?
Oh yeah, for sure.
You always wanna put in that effort, but sometimes you just gotta factor in the real life consequences of trying to get this shot.
You gotta factor in the crazy.
Yeah, because you know, in my experience, at least something's always gonna go wrong. At least one thing is gonna go wrong on set. The best set in the world, one thing is gonna go wrong.
And people will always want to get their shot.
That one shot, that one little idea people have sometimes ends up being the best thing to happen or the worst catalyst to chaos everywhere on set.
Yep, look at Wizard of Oz.
Whoa. Give him a fun fact.
I forget the year it was made, but on top of being the first Technicolor movie to be released in America, the backstage of it, like the actual filming process, had people getting injured, for certain shots, like they would use explosives techniques.
Wow.
For certain shots, and people would come home with like burn marks and bruises and all that stuff. And then one of the characters got sick from being colored in like bronze coated paint. Like she got like bronze poisoning. I think it was the Wicked Witch. She got poisoned.
Before all these new regulations and things like that, I guess.
Oh yeah, yeah. They used asbestos once for snow, and asbestos basically causes cancer. And there's like a full scene of them stepping in asbestos.
You heard it here first, guys. Fun fact with Seven Saturday.
People will do anything to get that shot.
Anything to get the shot. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like paparazzi, but in an artsy way.
Yep.
It's just like a diehard.
They get allowed to do that.
Yeah, it's like a diehard need to get that money shot. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's not even worth nothing. I always take the risk. 9 times out of 10, I'm gonna try it.
Yeah, as much as I'm saying about like these bad happenstances, like that's very slim to none. People usually just try to get that good shot, and they either don't get the shot in the movie or they get a good shot. Sometimes it goes wrong like that, but at least for us, I'd say we take that risk and we get it every time.
You know, I think failing enough has kind of prepared us to just be ready to go on the fly.
For sure, you gotta fail in order to become really good at doing something you like. There will be people that their first try at something is really good, so they try it 2 more times. But then that 4th time, they mess up and they're like, I'm never gonna do this again. But then there's that person that started off failing and keeps failing 20 times. And on trial 50, he gets a good try. And he keeps getting good tries after that.
And if you don't, it's not gonna matter because you know what it feel like. It's exactly. Just ball up top. That's what they're saying, right?
Ball up top.
That's what they're saying. We asked what the craziest set was. We asked what the most inspirational was. We're gonna close out with your favorite set and then one last question for the audience.
Okay. Favorite set.
Let's not say favorite. Let's say, you know, the most personal to you.
Okay, I'd say the most personal set was maybe my first music video shoot. I believe that was Straight to Action. It's not the best. I'll tell you right now, it's not the best. But it hits the most for me to look back on, because I can see exactly where I started taking this seriously. And I could see every intricacy of how I lined up every shot, and I felt really good about that. And it made a lot of sense. And I liked the song already, so it just made sense.
Yeah, them first projects be personal, man. And you're lucky it's good.
Yeah.
A lot of I think back to a lot of old stuff, I'd be like, man, that was garbage. But hey, it was out, and at the time it was like beautiful to me, so.
Exactly.
It's almost like putting your kid artwork up on the refrigerator.
Yeah. It's like you're giving a piece of yourself out. No destination. You're just putting it out and just seeing it either affect people, even just seeing it yourself when it's already out. Because now you can look back on like, I felt like this when I made this. I saw this when I made this. And it's like a little time capsule.
It is like a time capsule. Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. See, we got the good sayings from Seven Saturday today. But look, we're coming up on closing time, y'all. I know you're like, we were just getting into the good stuff. I know. Tune in to episode 2, you know? Episode 2. It was great talking to y'all. It was great talking to you, Seven Saturday.
Yes, sir. It was nice talking to you, my friend.
First episode, we're working on the closing, but this is a raw, authentic podcast. So I'm just going to say I'll see y'all next time, and I hope you enjoy it.